This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
And now it's time for the mortgage rate update. What's going on in interest rates? Matt Graham is here with us, founder and CEO of MBS Live, and he has this week's market update. Matt?
This is Matt Graham with the MBS Live market update. After nearly 2 months of calm weeks, last week definitely wasn't calm. Things started out innocently enough with Monday and most of Tuesday trading in a fairly flat range, both for Treasuries and MBS. But we were never really worried about Monday and Tuesday until Tuesday evening when we were very much interested in the Georgia Senate election. And by we, I mean the bond market. And why is the bond market interested in the Georgia Senate election? Here's a quick refresher. There's nothing political here. There's no opinions or value judgments about either side of the aisle. The only consideration for bond markets is whether or not a single political party has control of the House, Senate, and presidency. And it's precisely that unified control that was at stake with the Georgia Senate election, because if both seats flipped from red to blue, that would give Democrats and Republicans each 50 seats in the Senate, with Vice President-elect Harris casting the tie-breaking vote at Democratic control. This makes it easier for COVID-related stimulus and other legislation to get passed, and that has implications in the near term anyway for increased Treasury issuance. In other words, if we're going to increase stimulus checks from $600 to $2,000, or if we're going to spend any additional money related to COVID stimulus or other legislation, we have to come up with a way to pay for that in the short term. And the way the government pays for those sorts of things is to sell more bonds, more treasuries. That increases the amount of supply, obviously. And from there, it's supply-demand 101. The higher the supply, the lower the price. And when we're talking about bonds, lower prices mean higher rates, all other things being equal. Of course, treasuries are not the same as mortgage rates, but any abrupt weakness in the Treasury market tends to translate to the world of mortgage rates. As a quick side note, that wasn't necessarily the case on several occasions in 2020, but there were some very big, very temporary reasons that mortgage rates had a lot of insulation against Treasury volatility. Wide lender margins are a part of that, as is an ongoing streak of MBS outperformance, which has now probably run most of its course. That means that as lender margins have compressed a little bit, and as MBS outperformance has become less likely, mortgage rates, therefore, are increasingly feeling the pressure to move higher in these cases when Treasury yields are spiking relatively abruptly. And that was certainly the case last week. If nothing else, the break above the 0.96 technical ceiling in 10-year yields was significant. Markets knew this, of course, and that was always sort of the unspoken staging area for the Georgia Senate election. Yields had backed up almost perfectly to 0.96 on the night of the election and then immediately broke after that. We had been talking on this podcast and as well as MBS Live about the probability that a Democratic sweep of the Senate election would result in 10-year yields moving up and over 1%. That's what happened, and it was sort of a slow-motion train wreck for the rest of the week. The stuff that went down with the storming of the Capitol really didn't have any impact on the bond market. There was a little brief corrective rally, the kind that you would expect when something potentially risky is happening out and about in the world, but it was short-lived and didn't have any lasting impact on bonds. This was really all about trading the new political realities, as well as ongoing new year asset allocation trading related to the stock market. And there's quite a bit of corporate bond issuance, which can also put upward pressure on Treasury yields, all other things being equal. All told, from the moment the Senate results were relatively well known, bonds were in selling mode, and they didn't really stop for the rest of the week. 10-year yields ultimately hit levels nearly as high as 1.13%. All this after hoping to stay under 0.96% heading into the week. MBS, for their part, didn't have a great week either. UMBS 1.5 coupons matched the same lows seen in early November. UMBS 2.0 coupons didn't quite get that low, but they moved from almost 104 to 103 in the space of just 4 days. To lose a point in 4 days is a pretty big deal in this market. It may not have been as big of a deal in March when things were super volatile or in years past, but in this market when things have been very, very calm and MBS have been outperforming so nicely, a 1 point drop is significant. It was definitely reflected on rate sheets. Everything's relative there, of course, because, you know, the average conventional 30-year fixed rate still under 3%, but we're definitely an eighth to a quarter of a percent higher over those few days, depending on the lender. In terms of economic data, the week's headliner was the jobs report on Friday, and that was a little bit of a deceptive report because it came out much weaker than expected at the headline level, but some of the internal components were a little bit friendlier. Specifically, the unemployment rate held steady at 6.7%, and the number of people who indicated they had permanently lost their job declined by 348,000 people. Number of people that had been jobless for 15 to 26 weeks declined by more than 300,000, and 4.6 million people said they didn't look for work due to the pandemic in this most recent survey versus 3.9 million last time. That would indicate that the increased COVID case counts and lockdowns are having an outsized impact on job counts. And the headline that was quite, you know, negative, maybe wasn't as negative as it initially seemed. One other really interesting piece there, good topic of conversation at your cocktail party when you're talking about the differences between payroll counts and unemployment rate, because everybody does that, right? Is the line item about multiple job holders. So if you have more than one job, the Bureau of Labor Statistics will count you twice as a quote unquote payroll. Your company will report that you're on payroll and your other company will report the same. So you will be adding two to the NFP number as opposed to most workers who are just adding one. But when you receive your phone call for the population survey, the one that determines unemployment rate and things like that, you are only counted as one person. So if you tell them you're employed, you count as one employed person. So in this instance of the jobs report, the multiple job holders dropped by 224,000. So that's 224,000 fewer payrolls. NFP would be lower by that much, with absolutely zero implication for the unemployment rate. In other words, they went from two jobs to one job. That took a bite out of payrolls, but unemployment rate stayed the same. In the week ahead, there is a fair amount of economic data. It doesn't really ramp up until Wednesday. Treasury auctions are happening early. That may have had a little bit of a negative impact on bonds last week. Sometimes we see treasuries get extra defensive heading into an auction week. Wednesday's economic data is when everything begins. Core CPI at 8:30 on Wednesday morning. Expected to come in at 1.6 versus 1.6 last time. And that's a number that the Fed would like to see at 2.5 before they're thinking about hiking rates. So by their own admission, and according to the data, they're a long way off. Then on Thursday, we have jobless claims with us as always, and import-export prices, not a market mover. Finally, Friday, the week's headliner economic data, retail sales at 8:30 a.m., expected to come in totally flat versus a slight decline last time. That same morning, we'll get core producer prices. That's just wholesale level inflation, not the barn burner. Industrial production at 9:15, expected unchanged at 0.4, and consumer sentiment expected roughly unchanged at 80.0. All in all, I'll be looking for bonds to try to find a ceiling now, and we always have to wait for them to let us know where that's going to be. But the higher yields go, the closer and closer we're getting to a point where bond traders are going to say, hey, it looks like those yields are high enough. It looks like enough selling has been done that it is time to buy bonds again and try to capitalize on a little bit of a bounce in momentum heading back in a friendly direction. At that point, it could be just a token correction for technical reasons, or it could be redefinition of a new range ceiling that lasts for a while. That will depend on the economy, on COVID, on the vaccine rollout, on the legislation passed by the new administration, and a host of other things that are constantly playing into the day-to-day bond market volatility. Long story short, it was a bad week for rates. We had a technical breakout, and now we'll be looking very intently for our next support level. You are more than welcome and encouraged to join us in that process on mbslive.net, where we follow markets and discuss market reactions and the mortgage industry in real time all day, every day. And as always, Lincoln on Lending listeners get double the free time, no credit card requirement, by using the code LOL when signing up for the free trial on mbslive.net.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it again. As Matt said, be sure to sign up for mbslive.net. As we wrap up today's podcast, again, I want to say a special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, the Community Mortgage Lenders of America, also Indicom, as well as Incelerate, Mobility RE, and Modex. We're also grateful for all our regulars who are joining us each and every week on the podcast. And most of all, we're grateful for you, our listeners. Thanks for being with us this week. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Licken on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Licken of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.